American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, February 14th, 2005. The Valentine's Day edition, the most dreaded of all the holidays of every geek populace, because we all know that we're single and there's not, well, I'm not single, but chances are there's a great number of the geeks out there in geek world that are, in fact, single. Of course, the big question is, where do we go to meet women? Well, you're not going to find him sitting in front of the computer, unless, of course, you go to an online dating service. But sometimes, you know, those online dating services can be a little dodgy. You never really know what you hook up with. I mean, it also depends on what you're after. Do you really want to have a relationship? Do you really want to get married? Do you really want to do that? Or is that something that's been programmed into your head by very Disney institutions? You know, I mean, is that something you want to do? Or do you just want to, you know, go out there and get laid? If you want to go out there and get laid, then why don't you go check out, like, Lavasoft or Ashley Madison or one of these things where you can nail other people's wives or whatever it is you want to do. These people, you know, if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. But if not, then, hey, you know, whatever, you can try dating. I'd probably try, you know, a good place to pick up chicks is actually church groups, funny enough, because church women generally are pretty uptight and got to, you know, release some tension and stuff, so you might be able to get good there. Mind you have to deal with family and that. So barring that, you could always check out, like, some different church groups, like the Church of Satan groups. Go check out some of those and see what's up. But that's just, you know, my particular advice. That's sort of unsolicited, a little bit of improv Valentine's Day advice there. That'll be the last you hear of it, because nobody really wants to think about Valentine's Day. This is Newsreel, your source for independent media, and the news that will give you the edge against the corporpolitical tyranny that is trying to enslave you. And if you don't think corporpolitical tyranny is trying to enslave you, then you're not paying attention. You can read along with me by going to my live journal, which is live journal user Sean_Kennedy, and you'll know it'll be time when you to hear me turn the page, when you hear me say, yeah, baby. So you might want to check that out. Getting right into some feedback right off the top. What do we got? Feedback number one. Dear Sean, I live in Naples, Florida, a bit south of Fort Myers, Estero area. And the story you did about the kid saying booty during his news reports wasn't even reported at all. No word of it in local news. Nothing said on the radio, which I barely stand anymore. Nothing. Isn't that interesting? A story which I covered. For those of you not paying attention, there was a guy who was reading a school report, and his school media president said that he was allowed to say that a team kicked booty, but he was not allowed to say that he loved booty, because he improvised and said, I love booty. But that wasn't allowed, but he was allowed to say he kicked booty. Now, I got this story sent to me, and of course, I, you know, relay it to you, and the guy in the area doesn't know nothing about it. Now, how is it possible that a guy in Florida who lives in the town is getting news about his local area from a dude in Canada? How does that work? Could it be that the media is not paying attention, or they are paying attention, they're just trying to keep things low-key to keep you uninformed, dumb, and ignorant, treat you like a mushroom, feed you nothing but shit, and keep you in the dark? But this is just a simple example of what's going on in this country, he goes on to say. I could rant for hours about the broken school systems with their bullshit tests that prove nothing. I could tell you about how I learned nothing. I didn't teach myself after the 7th grade, and to leave school in the 10th grade before I went insane due to the corporate brainwashing bullshit factory. But I won't waste your time. I just wanted to inform you there's at least one of us down here getting ready to fight the fights and do what's needed to fight back these New World Order, corporate-political, neo-Nazi, Illuminati, 1984 wannabe motherfuckers. And where's the new season I'm after now, man? I'm dying here. And without more from Sean Kennedy, the 6th or 7th or whatever, if you count the upgrades. Keep up the amazing work. Your show's information are top-notch. I crave anything rant media related because you guys see through the mind veil. I like what you do, librarian. And that's from Emicron, and I'm going to hold back his, of course, his real name, which he signed. Don't send me your real name, guys, because in case, you know, if ever you do send me news links and stuff like that, more and more, I want people to make sure they send me links from anonymous remailers, things like that. You might want to look into that. After Now season is coming, okay, because I don't want to get into it too much, but I've lost my job. during the day. So donations are there a little bit. It's helping me out. But, yeah, I've lost my job. We're not going to talk about it. I don't want anyone coming back to me and telling me, you know, we'll shut them down, stuff like that. So that's it. That's what's going on. So it looks like I'm able to work a few nights a week doing security. The rest of the time, I work for you, server. Second piece of feedback here. Hi, Sean. In your Friday show, you talked about the Northern California school that was forcing students to wear the RFID badge. Of course, everyone who's listening, of course, listens every day, so they know what I'm talking about. I'd seen that story on Wired, and in their article, they also pointed out that the technology was supplied by a local company who manufactured them, and the school was convinced to test them out in return for a donation. So we'll pay you to do this to your kids. And the company plans to market the product nationwide next week at a school administrators conference. Oh, isn't that nice? And if that wasn't bad enough already, the company plans to install a school-wide system free of charge at this particular school, and the school district answered royalties for future sales. Oh, lovely. Now, since there's going to be, they're going to unveil this at a school convention, we should find out what convention that is and stage a protest so the teachers know exactly how everyone feels about it. A little bit of protest in a situation like this, we got to act fast. So if there's anyone local in the area wants to organize that, that's something you might want to look into and set that up, because it's needed very, very badly. The last thing we need is our children treated any more like cattle. It's bad enough that the privacy of the future generations is being eroded. Not only is it being eroded, but it's being ingrained. These kids, by the way, are learning that, oh, I have no privacy, I have no rights. It's a lot easier just to teach these kids that, you know, you don't have a right to be an individual. You don't have a right to have privacy. So when you try to get privacy later, it becomes more and more difficult. Now the schools can profit off of it as well. Not much longer. How much longer will it be until the corporations start buying the schools and getting rid of yet another obstacle? That was a letter from Shadowkill. Very, very good point, buddy. And I don't know how long it'll be, but I'll tell you this much, man. I'm going to fight as hard as I can. And another piece of feedback here. Hey, Sean. I was bored and noticed that there was no Sean Kennedy Wikipedia article. Now, I don't know much about Wikipedia. I guess it's one of those places where you go and can insert information. I know it was in Slashdot a little bit lately. People are concerned about how it actually gets its information and so on and so forth. But I guess, yeah, I wasn't in the Wikipedia. I know that if you do a search for cult on Dictionary, you'll find me listed in there, dictionary.com. So I made one. And this guy did. Clipper made a Wikipedia article. It's not much, but I'm hoping that it'll be contributed to by all the WOGs, perhaps even you. Well, I'll look into it. As you'll notice from the page, there is also a Wiki Commons page on you that I made. It currently only has some pictures of you, but it will soon also contain some of your ants and scabbed wings. Hope you like it. Clipper. Sure, sounds good. More people can find out about what I'm doing. That's okay, provided I don't wind up in jail, because nobody wants to see me in jail, especially not my wife. Going into a sort yourself out, this is a piece of advice been sent to me. Now, this is something that relates to everyone. I've been trying to tell my parents, pretty much the only ones who wouldn't think I'm crazy, about some of the stuff you've been talking about on Newsreel. But they think everything on the internet is a lie. Of course they do, because the mainstream media is telling them that everything on the internet is a lie, because the mainstream media is afraid of the internet. And everything that comes from the God Box is the truth. Of course, that's why the God Box hates the internet. I suppose they've been conditioned by the fake soldier kidnapping and the shopped Final Twin Towers pick. What should I do? I'm trying to inform them to keep them safe, but I'm not sure if I can get to them. And that's from Nightfall Gemini. Okay, Nightfall, here's the deal. Love your parents, because they love you, first and foremost. Secondly, okay, if they're already too involved, they haven't been able to make their saving throw and get past, you know, the charm spell that the God Box throws at these people. Okay, what you have to do is don't try to convince them, because the harder you push, the more crazy they're going to think you are. And eventually, as things progress, they may wind up reporting you and saying that you're, you know, psychotic, and they could want you to go to, like, the back and control center or one of these, you know, neo-Nazi sort of, like, rob you of your free will camps that are becoming very popular in the United States for, you know, parents to send their kids to because they're being influenced by the web, and then it'll start limiting your internet time and things like that, trying to keep you from, you know, going over the edge. So what you want to do, first and foremost, is start reading lots. That's number one. You want to make sure that you're building up your own mental power. And further to that, if you are, you know, get yourself an AOL bag together and stuff like that, get another backpack, get some smaller ones, lesser grades, quality stuff. Build one for your parents. You want to make sure that when the end does come for them, And when it does happen and when things start to seriously take a shit, they'll be like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. And you'll be able to step in there and go, it's okay, Mom. It's okay, Dad. I do know what to do because I have been paying attention. And I understand that you were brainwashed. Don't feel bad, guys, because, well, so was everyone else. But I love you. I've got a whole bunch of information here on CD. Here you go. You can do this while I'm driving the car. Get in the back seat, load up the portable DVD player, and rock out, okay? Here's a bunch of rants. Here's a bunch of information. This will get you primed. By the time we hit the border, you guys should be on your way to Wagdom. You can't get through to everyone. It's not something that can be done. Some people have been too deeply ingrained by the God box, and don't hate them for it. It's not their fault. This is important. Everyone needs to know that just because people don't agree with you, that doesn't mean that they're bad or they're evil. They just don't know. They just don't know. They haven't seen it for themselves. And after all, it's not really up to you to evangelize to people. Treat it like ketchup. Do you want ketchup? No? Okay, move on. No problem. If you start looking really crazy and evangelical, then people start thinking you're a threat. So you just say, hey, you know, I like this guy. And if they go, wow, you know that Sean Kennedy guy? He's a psychopath, man. That guy's totally crazy. Some nut in Canada ranting and raving on some microphone through rant media. It's all bullshit. You don't want to. No. Okay, just laugh and say, yeah, he's all fucked up. I'm not going to mind. I'm not going to think you're betraying me or nothing, okay? Just go along with it. Go along with it. Oh, yeah, he's wacko. But I don't know. It's just funny. It's like listening to Rush Limbaugh or Dennis Leary or Robin Williams. You know, he's funny. He's a comedian. Because after all, that's what I am, right? I'm a comedian. I'm not a terrorist. I'm a comedian. It's all satire. It's all just something I'm doing. It's a funny little thing, this guy in his bedroom, you know, he's all yelling into microphones. It doesn't really mean nothing. Ha, 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 ha. This is what the kind of attitude you want to have. Because that way, they're like, oh, well, it's not really a threat. And gradually, in the background, if they listen to some stuff and it's funny, play them some of my funnier stuff. Play them some of the After Now. If they like After Now, that's a nice little gateway in. They'll start listening to that. You can move on, so on and so forth. Okay, but don't ever get confrontational with people if they start slamming on me and stuff like that. I got big shoulders. I can take it. Don't worry about it. Okay, just kind of go, well, you know, that's what you believe and that's what you're into. And really, it's the differences that make this country great. So don't get pushy with your parents. Don't get pushy with people you don't know about things like, you know, the core political state. Often as well, if you start saying things like, oh, you know, I don't really believe a plane hit the Pentagon. Well, you know, they're going to think you're a psycho over that. Popular Mechanics just did an article. They got it on their website there where they're debunking all these conspiracy theory stuff about, you know, the plane that hit the Pentagon. They mention it just briefly, very lightly touched on. They have a big panel of these dudes who say, oh, yeah, you know, we're all these doctors and we work in Langley, Virginia and blah, blah, blah. And this is what's going on. And they use the very, very weak points. It's not really a good counterbalance. It's an anti-conspiracy story, which, you know, is very, very weak at best. They talk a lot about the trade towers. They talk about, the World Trade Center towers. World Trade Center, am I right? No, the Twin Towers, right? That's World Trade Center. My brain is just rotting out of my head. What the hell's going on? Anyway, the Twin Towers there, when they all thundered in. Understand, I'm on the... I just got back from there, for Christ's sake. Ground zero. Anyway, I'm not worried about that. The thing I'm concerned about is, of course, the Pentagon, because all you need to do is find one flaw. And don't get in debates with people. Don't get in debates with people. There's some really big common sense questions that don't make sense about the Pentagon strike. Okay, so that's something that you, if you start talking about stuff like that, especially with people who their reality is based upon the God box, right? So when they're told that this is the war on terror, la 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 la, reality to these people right now is being fed to them through the God box, and they've got to try to figure out, you know, which direction they're going. They got to figure out, you know, plus they got all the stress from the work lives and things like that. They're being distracted on purpose. Now, if you start shaking up people's reality, reality is kind of like a series of pillars that these people have. If you start removing the wrong pillars, they become unstable and suddenly they fall apart. And a lot of young people are realizing this now, and they go through depression, they have lots of problems, they're not able to deal with it, and that's when it's brought on gradually. If you start ripping away people's realities, that's why, you know, it's not a good idea to argue religion. I used to do it. And what if you win? What if you tear away some, you know, psycho Christian's reality and you show them that everything they believe is bullshit? You can sit back and be a cold-hearted fuck and laugh your ass off and go, ah ha ha ha, see, what you believed in was a lie. But then these people are left shattered. Okay, you have to be, we don't, as, you know, the cyberpunks, as wogs, as people who are concerned citizens, it's not about hating the sheeple. We don't hate the sheeple. Don't ever think we do. We're here to protect the sheeple. You've got to look at these people and have a bit of compassion for these people because they're being lied to. People think I hate Scientologists. I don't hate Scientologists. Not at all. I feel bad for Scientologists. I feel bad for these people who are being abused and who are being victimized by a cult. I don't hate them. I don't hate any of the Scientologists. Like, I feel bad that, you know, Tom Cruise and these guys are spreading this word, and that's unfortunate that they're doing that, but it's not their fault. It's like hating someone because they have a disease and they spread the disease. It's not their fault they got this disease. They're in a weak state of mind. These cults are smart, man. They know how to prey on people. And if you're not able to, you know, step back and go, whoa, dude, you know, I think you're bullshit. If you don't make your saving throw, man, you're going to get sucked in. So bottom line, dude, sort of roundabout tangent there. Love your parents. Just be ready so that if things do go sideways, follow the information, learn lots, then be ready. So if things do go sideways, you'll be able to look after them. Because, you know, and if not, you know, always remember the two questions. Where am I going? Who's coming with me? And never get that order fucked up. Moving straight into the news. Got a bunch of good stuff for you today. Scientists are afraid. Isn't that an interesting thing? Scientists are afraid to talk about what their findings are. Some scientists are thinking twice about doing or reporting certain research. That's great. When intelligence and research and knowledge is afraid to be reported. Reacting to political and social controversy in addition to legal restrictions. Okay, if we can't stop us with religious law, let's just stop us with regular legal law. Hello, information needs to be freed. We need to find out the truth. Truth is beauty. Beauty is truth. That is all we know. That is all we need to know. We need to find out the truth. It appears that controversy shapes what scientists choose to study and how they choose to study it. Okay, that's just frightening to me. And we need to look a little bit more closely at the effects it might be having, said Joanna Kemper, a researcher at University of Michigan. Kemper and co-authors from the Brown University and the University of Pennsylvania conducted an in-depth interview with 41 scientists engaged in a variety of studies. They found that half felt constrained by formal limits. Even more said they were affected by informal or unspoken rules with what or how studies can be done. And this is one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of independent research. You'll notice that a lot of headway is made by independent researchers, guys working in their basement and stuff. Those are the real heroes, you know, really. People who come up with cures and stuff like that. You know, Lexan was developed by a hairdresser. Okay, like, you've got to bear in mind that there's a lot of individual research going on out there. Their findings are reported in Thursday's issue of the journal Science in a paper entitled Forbidden Knowledge. Now, you know, if I wasn't doing this news report, would you even know that that was the case? How many people out there read the journal Science? Formal limits include such things as the ban on federal funding for most research on embryonic stem cell and restrictions on research involving humans. Well, guys, we got to get past this. You know, we got some heavy shit coming down the pipe, and now there's, like, diseases showing up that haven't been here before. We need to get on top of this and get past the fear. You know, fear is the mind killer. Feel it. Fear is the little death that destroys us. Okay? You got to get past this. You must make a friend of fear. Fear and mortal terror are your friends, for if they are not friends, they are enemies. Colonel Kurtz. Now, here's a good idea, a story. This is kind of a neat one. It's kind of beta. But you remember in Star Wars, they had that's in the new shitty Star Wars, not the old good Star Wars, but they had the rolling droids. Well, it seems that somebody's made a rolling droid as a security droid. A spherical roving robot designed to detect and report intruders has been developed by a Swedish startup company. Those crazy Swedes. The design was first developed with planetary exploration in mind. And the Angstrom, I'm sure I'm fucking that up, Space Technology Center, part of the Uppsala University of Sweden. But Rotundus, formed in December 2004, plans to market the ball-shaped bot as an automated security guard. Right on. You know, I want one of these. We knew it would have applications on Earth, says company CEO Nils Huth. It is very robust when compared with robots that use wheels or tracked and can travel through mud or even snow. There's a short video there. It's 14 megs, which is more than really a short video. I guess, well, 14 megs you can download. That's a pretty good bandwidth. On the company's website, demonstrates the robot's ability to navigate through snow. It is propelled by a pendulum suspended from an axis inside the casing, controlled by a motor. Moving the pendulum forwards causes the robot to roll along. But the pendulum can also swing from side to side, giving the robot the ability to steer left and right. An animation is also available on the Rotundus website, illustrates locomotion mechanism in action. Now, that's one of those things that I'd like to see that, you know, maybe increased in size, increased in mass, and be able to see what we could do with that. I mean, there's some exciting stuff going on there. That's really cool. Furthermore, I mean, I've seen some do-it-yourself websites where they talk about a DIY Segway. I mean, the Segway, ever since I've seen it, I don't think it's really all that, you know, revolutionary to change the world or none of that kind of stuff. But I do think that if we could get the Segway as a robotics platform, I mean, it's ready. It can move a 200-pound person. Well, hell, let's just use that a robotics platform and start making ourselves some droids. Sounds like a plan to me. And, of course, have up. Now, I know I said I wouldn't mention Valentine's Day, but it seems that it's not up to me, man. It seems that there are stories in the news that I have to report, and this one is, have a paranoid Valentine's Day. Now, you know, as we all know, there is a certain fear that comes with dating. Now, the fear that I get is usually having the, you know, the guts to walk up and ask the broad to dance. But, of course, you know, and then again, there's the fear of diseases now. You know, you can't just sleep around anymore because you die. Because you'll catch something nasty, you know, your pecker rots off, and you know, very soon afterwards, your whole head falls off and you crash and bleed out. But Valentine's Day can be a blessing or a curse, depending on whether or not you have a date. A lot of singles turn to the internet to find that special someone for most romantic day of the year. Well, who says that's a romantic day of the year? That's bullshit. That's core political programming. But the convenience of online dating could lead to danger. Dun, dun, dun. Because everything online is dangerous. Vilify the internet. Media. A 23-year-old woman in Windsor says she was sexually assaulted last month on her first date with a man she'd met online. Well, that's great. You know how many women are sexually assaulted every day? It's a fucking tragedy. But it doesn't, like, that's just selective news reporting. See? She met a man online and he sexually assaulted her. Therefore, internet dating is bad. No, that doesn't really work that way. She started to use, she had stated to us that she'd met Mr. Osborne online approximately 4 months prior to meeting him in here in Colorado, said Detective John Tollefson of Windsor Police Department. 31-year-old Sean Osborne was arrested February 3rd and charged with sexual assault. Mr. Osborne had multiple warrants out of various states. The victim may have benefited from a new online service called TrustADate.com. Well, isn't this great? This whole thing is an ad for TrustADate.com. The website allows you to do a criminal background check on anyone so long as you have his or her full name and date of birth. The check includes felony records from 49 different states for the past 10 years. Now, just because someone has a criminal record doesn't make them a psychopath. So not only is it that if you have a criminal record now, thanks to the Matrix and all everything else that's going on in governmental legislation, not only can you not get a job, not only will you not be able to be rented to, now you can't get a date or get laid. Isn't that just fantastic? People with criminal records are probably better in bed than people without criminal records. I'll go on record for saying that. What the hell? You know, if you were to do a criminal background check, you find out, yeah, this guy, you know, he speeds, he likes to go fast. You know, he got caught for possession. Oh, my God, what a terrible human being. You know, give me a break. I'd be way more interested in a chick with a couple of assault charges than I would in some, you know, churchy broad. That's just, well, you never know, because those churchy broads are a little scary, too. And it just means they haven't been caught. So if they have a criminal background, just because they went to jail doesn't mean that they're criminals. There's a really important distinction there. So when they arrest me and put me in jail, then I'm a criminal, then I'm screwed. Is that how it works? Nice. Nice. Now, here's a bit of a story. Mr. Kurzweil doesn't tailgate. Now, this is juicing, man. You want to talk about juicers? Anyone remember Riffs? Anyone remember Riffs? You know the game Riffs? It was a role-playing game. There was a class in there called juicers. These are these guys who would jack themselves up on speed, and they had little nanite robots that would run through the system that was in on a chest plate, and that would be what heals them. Well, anyway, Mr. Kurzweil here, a man who plans to live forever, doesn't take chances with his health on the highway or anywhere else. Now, the dude's a scientist. As part of his daily routine, Kurzweil ingests 250 supplements, 8 to 10 glasses of alkaline water, and 10 cups of green tea. Okay, well, so far I'm down with that. He also periodically tracks 40 to 50 fitness indicators down to his tactile sensitivity. Adjustments are made as needed. I do actually fine-tune my programming, he said. Okay, this guy's obviously obsessive-compulsive and just a wee bit wacko. He's a famed inventor and computer scientist is serious about his health because if it fails him, he may not live long enough to see humanity achieve immortality. A seismic development, he predicts in his new book, is no more than 20 years away. So if we live long enough, we'll be able to live forever. Which, you know, hey, I'm 31, so that means that by 51, I should be able to live forever. Sounds good to me. I guess I'll have to start banking the donations and eating macaroni. It's a blink of an eye in history, but it's long enough for 56-year-old Kurzweil to pay close attention to his fitness. He urges others to do the same in Fantastic Voyages, Live Long Enough to Live Forever. His book is partly a health guide so people can benefit from the coming explosion of technology he predicts will make infinite lifespans possible. Sounds a lot like Molar Sky Car, you know, sort of vaporware to me. I'd like to see more of that. Also, there's a bit of problems with the whole neural, how the brain works. I'd like to know a little bit more about that. I think I'm all for, you know, doing some healthy supplementation. 250 supplements a day might be a bit much. You know, I'd want to make sure that, you know, you're not ingesting too many free radicals and stuff like that. And also, I bet you this guy farts like a bad bastard. But Kurzweil writes millions of blood cell-sized robots, which he calls nanobots, and so does everyone else, that will keep us forever young by swarming through the body, repairing bones, muscles, arteries, brain cells, improving our genetic coding will be downloaded from the internet. We won't even need a heart, he says. Well, that's a nice dream. It's a nice thought. Good idea. I like it. I think it's a good plan. I don't think it'll be available within the next 20 years. I think that we're going to hit some major, major problems. And furthermore, how are we going to be able to afford this? When this technology hits the ground, who's going to be able to afford this? Well, it won't be you and I. I'll tell you that right now. It'll be the Bill Gates and the Donald Trumps and all the really rich bastards in the world. You know? I mean, and if you would steal money, like let's say that it cost, oh, I don't know, $50 million to be immortal. To go to, you know, go down to Mexico City or go to France or wherever the hell they're going to be offering this technology and you, you know, get this upgrade so that you're immortal. For people who are denying that, then therefore, are they not, in essence, allowing people to die? So aren't they kind of responsible if this technology is there? It has to be made affordable. I mean, this opens a whole ethical can of worms. You know, you got to look at that. But let's say it costs $50 million. If it costs $50 million to get a treatment that makes you immortal, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be hitting the casinos. Okay, and I don't mean to gamble. I mean to rob them. All right, seriously. If you could steal money from credit cards using the internet, using whatever, so to get enough cash so you are immortal, I'm okay with that. I don't think you should victimize individuals. I'm all for victimizing credit card companies because they're legalized loan sharks anyway. Then I'm all for, you know, victimizing casinos because they're essentially the greatest evil in the world. To be immortal, I'd call that a just cause. You're damn straight. That's just my opinion. That's just my call. But, you know, I'm sure the FBI is going to be, you know, watching me when that technology hits the ground. But realistically, you know, if you're fighting for your life, aren't you? And isn't that every single living thing's right to fight for their life? I think it is. I think it is. So that's something you might want to check on. But as well, the House has backed biometrics. This is a sad story. The U.S. House of Representatives approved on Thursday a sweeping set of rules aimed at forcing states to issue all adults federally approved electronic ID cards, including driver's licenses. Great. Under the rules, federal employees would reject licenses or identity cards that don't comply, which would curb Americans' access to airplanes, trains, national parks, federal courthouses, and other areas controlled by federal government. The bill was approved by a vote 261 to 161. Okay, so that means that unless you have RFID ID, you can't fly, you can't move, they limit movement, they can't give you access to representation into your legal counsel. This is, you know, pretty much you're screwed. The measure, called the Real ID Act, says that driver's license and other ID cards must include a digital photograph, anti-counterfeiting features, and an undefined machine-readable technology. With defined minimum data elements. So that's pretty open. Machine-readable technology, Jesus. So don't even worry about RFID. I mean, that's scary enough, but think about the next level after RFID. What comes after that? That can include a magnetic strip, RFID tag, or something we haven't seen yet that they're keeping under wraps because they know we're going to wig out. The Department of Homeland Security would be charged with drafting the details of regulation. And, of course, the Department of Homeland Security is a scary bunch of bastards. So you know that it's going to be completely Orwellian when that hits the ground. Republican politician urged that the new rules were necessary to thwart terrorists. Yeah, all these terrorist attacks that are happening. You know, we need them. There hasn't been a terrorist attack since 2001, but I guess we got to kill all these terrorists. They're everywhere. Everywhere, these terrorists. No, there's not. Stop. Cut the shit. Saying that four of the September 11th, 2001 hijackers possessed valid state-issued driver's licenses. When I get on an airplane and someone shows me ID, I'd like to be sure they are who they say they are, said Representative Tom Davis, a Virginia Republican during the floor debate that started Wednesday. Well, I hate to tell you this there, Tom, but anything that you can make, you can fake. Okay? So it gets more complicated. If, in fact, it was the Al-Qaeda doing this, and you have enough will behind you and enough cash to get the fake ID, you're making the counterfeiting industry into a very lucrative market, extremely lucrative. States would be required to demand proof of the person's Social Security number and confirm that number with Social Security Administration. You know, anyone think about how hard or easy it's going to be to counterfeit these? Because the more faith you put in this electronic media, it becomes easier to counterfeit and do actual identity theft. If I steal someone's information and their cards and I look similar to the guy, don't I become that person because I have the documents then? I mean, if they start doing DNA tests, if you can fix that somehow, you do a couple little switches and the other guy's screwed. It doesn't matter how many people say he is who he says he is. You've got the ID and the paperwork. It goes on to say they would also have to scan documents showing the person's date of birth, immigration status, and create a massive store so that the scanned images can be retained in electronic storage on a transferable format permanently. Now, you cross this with the Matrix idea that they're trying to put in, this huge database in the United States that ties all other informational databases together, and it gets a little bit concerning. Another portion of the bill says that states would be required to link their DMV databases if they wish to receive federal funds. Oh, good. Good. So unless you do link everything, then you get cut off money. Among the information that must be shared, all data fields printed on driver's license and identification cards, the complete driver's history, including motor vehicle violations, suspensions, points on licenses, etc. And that's just the beginning. That's only the beginning of what can happen with this. Terrifying stuff. Terrifying stuff. And what could be scarier than that? I hate to report this. This is a scary, scary news story. No doubt you've heard of this one. And there's a lot of people who've been talking about this, but now, unfortunately, we have a new HIV strain. This is terrifying. A unique strain of HIV, resistant to most major kinds of antiviral therapy, has been diagnosed in a patient in New York City, raising concerns among public health experts about the potential of AIDS virus to overcome treatments that can keep the disease in check. Looks like that little virus you created is getting away from you. The strain also caused an unusually rapid onset of full-fledged AIDS in the patient. New York Health Department officials said he may have developed the disease in only 2 or 3 months after his initial infection, far shorter than the normal lag of 9 to 11 years between HIV infection and AIDS. That's fantastic! Holy shit! So if you happen to be unfortunate enough to become HIV positive, you're going to be able to, you know, go to full-blown AIDS in just a couple of months. Watch the death toll rise. Think about what this could mean to third world countries if that hits over there. You know, before, you know, because we're talking about places, there's places in the world where it's got like a 50% AIDS rate. 50% of the people have, you know, are HIV positive and higher in some other countries. They're going to clean out all the non-white people with diseases just like this. This is stuff that makes me say, you know what, screw dating, screw everything. You know, these guys who got these t-shirts say, thank God for AIDS. You know, I really want to punch him in the face. I really do. It just scares the shit out of me that people can have such little compassion for their fellow man. Anyway, going on here, health experts stressed that they know of only a single case involving the strain, and the rash of rapid progression to AIDS may have more to do with the patient's susceptibility than with the strength of the virus. Okay, so it's a speculation. They're like, okay, don't freak out. We're just going to find out what's going on. Still, worries about the case prompted New York Health Department and the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to send warnings to health departments across the country. It's very alarming, said Dr. Ron Valdesiri, a deputy director of the CDC's National Center for HIV, STD, and TB Prevention. Quote, we would hope that this case could serve as a wake-up call that we're still dealing with a very formidable adversary in HIV, end quote. Well, yeah, no doubt. You know, I don't think anyone's really forgotten about HIV because, you know, everywhere you go now, people are wanting blood tests, terror everywhere, you know. And quickly, go back to church so that you can only have sex with virgins. What a terrifying concept that is. New York health officials described the patient as a man in his mid-40s who had unprotected anal intercourse with multiple male partners, often while using crystal methamphetamine. Great. Fantastic. HIV was diagnosed in December 2004. Officials said they are tracking the patient's sexual contacts to notify them and gauge any spread of the strain. So it's interesting as well that HIV is easiestly transferred through the anal walls. And I've always wondered, really, could you think of a better disease to clear out the ghettos and clear out undesirables than HIV? Really? I mean, you know, if you live a white Christian upper-class lifestyle, you're immune to the disease. But if you're a homosexual, it's tailor-made to kill you. You know, if you use needles or drugs because you got a drug dependency problem, then it's tailor-made to kill you. And now it can kill you faster. Nice upgrade. You got to like that. Now, moving on, we got the FDA has approved in the United States a drug that is toxic that was banned by Canada. Now, you're not going to hear anything about this in the United States, so I'm going to tell you about it on the show, and I hope that those of you out there will let other people know that they don't want to be taking Adderall XR. The Food and Drug Administration has announced that it has no intention to restrict the sale of the drug Adderall XR, despite a decision by Canadian health officials to ban the drug out of safety concerns. Now, you want to ask yourself, oh, Canadians don't know shit, right? Well, if we don't know shit, why is it all the Canadian doctors working in American hospitals? That's why we call it the North American brain drain. People come up here, they train in our schools because they're top-notch, and then they go back down to the United States. But no, this drug is, even though we banned it, you know, it's okay in the United States because they don't really care. The drug, which is used to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, was found to cause 20 cases of sudden death and a dozen strokes in patients, some of which were children. Well, who else takes ADHD medication? You know, really, some of which were children. How about most of them were kids? Okay, so if you've got children that are taking Adderall XR, somebody tells you to take Adderall XR, call bullshit and don't do it. Okay, I don't believe in ADHD anyway. I think it's a bullshit. It's a totally bullshit condition. In fact, 14 of the 20 cases of sudden death and 2 of the strokes reported involve children. So it's not some. It is, in fact, most. The FDA, what is that, 70%? The FDA examined reports on Adderall XR and decided the drug need not be taken off the shelves in the United States. Ooh, who got paid off there? Who follow the money? You know, people on the FDA, the people who are actually reviewing these stuff, I'd love these guys to take their bank accounts and throw them under microscopes. I really would, because it's bullshit. These people are, like, it's killing children, dude. Like, where's your head? You're killing kids. You know, I wish there was, you know, some sort of divine law and God and heaven and hell so that these people could get what they deserve. I'm okay with being, you know, if that means I go to hell too, I'd be all right, so long as I could look over to the guy next to me and see that, you know, guys like, you know, these pieces of shit that are letting kids die thanks to drugs for an disorder that is massively, massively overprescribed for, and everyone in the United States know that ADHD is being massively overprescribed. All doctors got to do is, you know, just hand it out, and the doctor doesn't know because he's too busy to actually do the checking. So he, you know, oh, well, you know, I got this report on Adderall XR. It's new. Give it to the kids, and bang, sudden death. Drops dead right there. You know, isn't that fantastic? And Canada is not dumb, okay? We need to understand that there are some problems here. Adderall XR is manufactured by a British company called Shire Pharmaceuticals Group PLC. Shire released a statement saying it remained confident in its product's safety, even though it's killing kids. Approximately 700,000 people in the United States takes Adderall XR. For now, the controversial medication will remain available in the United States. People, if you're out there, if any of the 700,000 people taking this drug, okay, are listening to this program, or if you know of someone taking this drug, please beg them, do whatever, offer to buy them new stuff, because they'll die. Okay, get them off. It's scary shit. Now, another piece of scary shit, you know, you know, powdered iced tea. I used to go over Uncle Dax all the time when I was a kid because I had nowhere to go. And that guy, you know, he basically adopted half the neighborhood because that's what, you know, New Yorkers do, even when they're not in New York anymore. I would go over to his place and he used to drink a shitload of iced tea, like really, really strong stuff. And I believe Sim does too. Well, you can bank that because you're not going to be drinking the iced tea anymore. Stay away from iced tea. Why? Recently, researchers analyzed some iced tea mixes and found levels of fluoride, which could be harmful. Great. Some of the mixes contained as much as 6.5 parts per million. An Environmental Protection Agency allows a maximum of 4 parts per million in drinking water and allows a maximum of 2.4 parts per million in bottled beverages. So in the powder, it gets up to 6.5 parts per million. And fluoride, of course, makes people generally docile and cause you know, skeletal fluorosis. Anyway, it goes on to say, excessive fluoride supposedly can cause a rare disease known as skeletal fluorosis. Symptoms of the disease include pain in the bones, stiff ligaments and joints, bone spurs, and fusing of the vertebrae. Now, that's what they talk about here. They also don't talk about how it makes people docile, and that's why the Nazis gave it to the Jews in the death camps. A middle-aged woman with a spinal pain caused by extreme dense bones was examined. Her urine had high levels of fluoride. She drank 1 to 2 gallons of double-strength instant tea a day. Jesus Christ, lady, slow down. This prompted researchers to analyze the fluoride content of commercial instant tea mixes. The analysis showed that the fluoride content of instant tea mixes varied from 1 part per million to as high as 6.5 parts per million. Thank you. I'd like to avoid the fluoride as much as I can. To show signs of fluorosis on x-ray of the bones, it would take at least 10 milligrams of fluoride daily for 10 years. So they say. But why is it then that, you know, if a child eats a tube of toothpaste, they can die? Look into that. Look into that. That's why you should be using natural toothpaste that don't have fluoride. The main source of fluoride, other than drinking water, is fluoridated toothpaste. Small amounts of fluoride can come from pesticides. Great. Teflon-coated cookware, chewing tobacco. Well, chewing tobacco is evil on a whole, you know, this just goes on about, like, tobacco. Yeah, okay, thanks. And some wines and mineral water. Fantastic. Based on their findings, researchers say doctors should ask people who complain about bone aches and pains how much tea they drink in order to rule out skeletal fluorosis. The woman stopped drinking instant tea, and the pain gradually went away over several years. Now, that's frightening to me. I don't know about you, but I find a story like that frightening to me, that if fluoride in doses that are considered toxic by, you know, the organizations is present inside an instant iced tea, what else is there? I mean, if I didn't tell you about this story, how would you know about it, right? So, what you don't know, you don't know. Like good old Donnie said there are known knowns, and there are unknown knowns, and there's known unknowns, and there's unknown unknowns, and there's gnomes in my garden, and, I mean, Jesus. You know, at what point do you sit back and go, whoa, man, you know, why don't we just get ourselves some decent water, make it, you know, run through a distiller, because I'm seriously thinking about picking up a distiller myself, because this is just, it's scary stuff, man. Now, here's an obvious case of vilification of the internet. I hate to report this story, but I'm going to do it because, you know, we need to be, because people are going to come to you with this, so you got to be prepared for it. Apparently, a mass suicide was planned on the internet. An unemployed Oregon man, who police said used an internet chat room to arrange a mass suicide pact with dozens of people on Valentine's Day, has been charged to solicit aggravated murder. That's fantastic. Authorities seized the man's computer and are scouring it to identify and contact potential participants in the mass suicide to make sure they are safe, Klamath County Sheriff Captain Chris Montero said. Well, if they want to kill themselves, dude, there's not much you can do to make them safe because they're just going to, like, you know, generally check themselves out. They're doing welfare checks on all of them, Montero said Friday. There's a very extensive investigation involving a lot of jurisdictions. Gerald Crean, 26, was charged with soliciting to commit attempted aggravated murder. Interesting. He could face 10 to 30 years in prison for talking about committing suicide. Okay, and arranging it. Apparently, we don't yet. Okay, bear in mind the guy didn't actually do anything, and he's looking at 30 years in jail. Participants in the planned group suicide appear to be people not happy with the date. February 14th, and are not happy with their own personal lives. Well, you got no shortage of that, dude. There's lots of people who think their lives are shit. The police were tipped off by a Canadian woman who learned that one mother was allegedly planning to kill her 2 children and take her own life. Okay, well, that's, you know, killing your kids is not so cool. That's, yeah, that's a problem. The chat room was designed for people interested in suicide, Montero said. None of the logs were there because, of course, you know, don't kill yourself, kill other people was one of my comedic, quite often, even though people feel bad and they have suicide and they're thinking about it, I have said a lot of things a lot of times just to get people to get the thoughts off suicide. Okay, suicide is something we're going to be seeing more and more of because we're straying away from spirituality in our lives. And I don't mean like Christian spirituality. I just mean any kind of spirituality. You know, there is no moralistic law. No one really knows what's up anymore. What's the point of staying alive? You know, if your life is shit, and there's no judgment, we're all just meat bots. Why not check yourself out? Why should you live your whole life suffering? I mean, really, it just kind of makes sense. So that's something that people need to think about. Crine lives with his parents in southern Oregon town of Klamath Falls. And he has no prior contact with law enforcement, is being held on $100,000 bail. Good God. There's no evidence of a religious cult following within this group, Monero said. Now, notice here that it's prevalently, you know, it's the internet. You know, suicide chat rooms and the evils of the internet. Okay, guys, the guy didn't do anything. Yeah, he was talking about it, and he needs help, and the people in this chat room need help. But does he deserve 30 years in jail for it? Does he deserve any time in jail for it? Or should he possibly just get some help? You know, when in doubt, throw them in jail. Is that the message here? Is that what people are trying to say? Because that scares me a little bit, that people would just, you know, be so cold to their fellow person. I find that sick and deranged. Now, of course, you know, everyone knows about POWs and MIAs. Well, it's coming out now that a lot of them died in gulags. Researchers from U.S.-Russia Joint Commission on POWs and MIAs have been investigating unconfirmed reports of Americans who were held prisoner in the so-called gulags. So-called, well, they're gulags. They're a concentration camp by any other name. I personally would be comfortable in saying, this is a quote, saying that a number of Americans held in gulags during the Cold War and Korean War were is in the hundreds, said Norman Cass, executive secretary of the commission's U.S. selection. The Soviet gulag system remained strong until the death of Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin in 1953, but some camps remained in existence for years afterwards. Soviet authorities imprisoned millions who were considered enemies of the state and forced them to perform hard labor in the network of camps in remote areas of the country. Kind of like what's going to be set up over here in America, where they're going to eventually have, you know, labor camps, and if you're considered an enemy of the state, you know, people like me, you know, we're going to wind up going to these camps. But, you know, hey, you got to do what you got to do. The publication of Alexander Stolgatsinskin's, okay, I'm screwing that name up on purpose, The Gulag Archipelago in the early 70s focused on the West's attention of the camps. For more than a decade, Cass and his team investigated dozens of reports about Americans spotted in the gulags. We have multiple lists of American servicemen missing, and of course, they are arranged by conflict. We have lists from World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War, and the various casualties during the Cold War. Friday's 90-page Pentagon report says is the fifth in a series of updates about the missing troops. A separate internal Pentagon document has concluded there is a high probability that American citizens and U.S. British prisoners of war died in the camps. Now, also, you got to bear in mind that America owed Vietnam a whole bunch of cash. America said, fuck you, we're not paying, so Vietnam kept the prisoners. And they left a lot of the boys behind just to rot and die. It was scary, sad, sick, and deranged. So, you know, what do you say to that? You know, these people signed up to do their duty, and they got waxed for it. And people wonder why no one really wants to join the Army, and they have to spend millions and millions of dollars in advertising. You don't need to advertise for a good job. Think about it. And, of course, core political slavery, back in the news. Isaac Aguero had a Bud Light on Saturday night. His employer thought he should have been a Miller Time. Interesting. The 24-year-old from Racine said he was fired Monday, the same day a picture appeared in the Journal Times showing him holding a bottle of Bud Light. The picture was taken Saturday while Allegro was in downtown Racine during Mardi Crawl and appears as part of JT's weekly On the Town feature depicting area nightlife. So Buddy gets off work, goes to a bar, has a beer, gets a picture in his paper, and gets fired for it. The problem, Aguero was a forklift operator with CJW Incorporated, the area's supplier of Miller Brewing Company products. Oh, he said he was believed he was fired unfairly. It was Saturday and I wasn't at work. They can't tell me what beverages I can drink. Well, apparently, they can. An employee at CJW who refused to give their name confirmed Wednesday that Aguero was fired, but she said she could not comment about the circumstances of his dismissal. Aguero said he learned there was a problem with the photo shortly after he showed up to work on Monday. Co-workers told him he was in trouble for the picture. It was then he was called to the general manager's office and told he was fired. Well, isn't that fantastic? Aguero, I'm screwing his name up on purpose, said Aguero said he was not given a reason for the dismissal and claimed he had never had problems with his boss at work. He'd worked at CJW for about 4 years before he was fired, and had drank Bud Light for even longer than that. Bud Light's my beer of choice, and I always drink that, he said. Just because I work there, do I have to change what I drink? Apparently. Aguero added he was never told he couldn't drink Bud Light, and there was no references in the employee handbook to avoid certain drinks. I would be looking into getting some legal action on that right away. And finally, don't hate the media. Kill the media. CNN on Thursday sought to quell the media frenzy enveloping a top executive who suggested that U.S. troops were deliberately firing on journalists in Iraq. During a January 27th session of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, CNN executive, VB chief news executive, Eason Jordan reportedly said that 12 journalists had been targeted and killed by U.S. troops in Iraq. While Jordan was challenged about the figure and the insertion itself, according to a witness, he backpedaled and clarified Jordan's remark has caused a firestorm of criticism and has moved hundreds of blogs through conservative press and into the mainstream media. Now, also, you got to bear in mind that in that film that I checked out when I was in New York, Weapons of Mass Deception, there's a case of a tank firing on a hotel where journalists went there, and they said that there was fire, but when you watch the tape, there's no gunfire there. Okay, the tank just lined up and shot the hotel. Mr. Jordan emphatically does not believe U.S. military intended to kill journalists. He believed these accidents to be the case of mistaken identity, a CNN statement said. Yeah, this guy's trying to bail his ass out now. A CNN spokesman added, unfortunately, he was not clear enough in explaining his assertion. The network says that Jordan, an advocate for protection of journalists overseas, had responded to a comment that the 63 journalists killed in Iraq were collateral damage. CNN said most of the journalists were killed by anti-U.S. forces, but the Pentagon has acknowledged killing some journalists accidentally. Of course, you know. But one witness at Davos, Florida businessman Roy Avis, said he was shocked by Jordan's initial claim and asked him to prove it. Well, if you go check out that film, Weapons of Mass Deception, you'll see that maybe that claim isn't so wacko. And today's Daily Hack is not the MIT lockpicking guide, because I guess they got in trouble for that. So from the website here, I am told the university, which has name associated with this document, would prefer not to. Fine, I will no longer refer to it as the MIT Guide to Lockpicking or the MIT Lockpicking Guide. Truth be told, I'm a member of the Bavarian Illuminati, and I wrote it myself shortly after I instigated Watergate and the Cuban Missile Crisis. I hereby absolve a certainly highly respectable university in Massachusetts from any and all responsibility of the document, which is too bad in a way. I thought it was a cool piece of urban folklore, no matter where it came from, and it contributed to giving college students everywhere a reputation for healthy rebelliousness. Nearly half of all illustrations appear in a chapter of appear in chapter 9. So if that one takes a little while on your browser, try to be patient. Now, lockpicking is a valuable skill which a lot of people should try to pick up. And if you go to my live journal, click on the Daily Hack, that will give you access to this document. And it's been around for a while, but a lot of people don't know about it. So if you're a newbie just checking this out, that's one of the documents you want to download and save. That's what I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure that you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those people who are willing to stand up and fight the core political tyranny. These people are Jesse, Anonymous, Jesse, the Grey Ghost. Robert Forleet, Michael, Matthew, Matt, Kevin, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Speaker, Jeff, Malcolm, Peter, Keith, Timor, WebLife. I gotta scroll down here. Timor, Richard, Greg, Evan, Matt, Drake, Levi, Ashton, David, Brian, Austin, Tara, Host Mojo, Jonathan, Adam, Mystique, thanks buddy, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Art, Diremude, Peter, Jesse, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Dylan, Lars, Daniel, Anonymous, and Philip. And as well, you know, make sure that you don't give me any parts of your real name when I read these out if you're making donations. And if you would like to help keep this news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Special thanks to some Netrunners who helped me out with the news. We got Transix, Sylvanus, PoliSci, Ricky Rocket, Manuel Kelly, Psychofish, Astrofix, Silich, Sphinx Knights, Druid, Y. Samaru, Dark Nature, E-Pagan, Valakai, Kevlar Gibbs, Keyline, Iridium, and No Delete. No digital baptisms, but if you would like to get your own online name, make sure you message me, give me your name you're using now, not your real name, and I will give you a new name for your troubles. And if you have any information or stories you want to send me, please send them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, that's right, it's Astral Projection. Again, I love these guys. Very, very cool. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
At the supermarket, watching people cut in line, I started thinking about human nature. What would you do if there was no more food? My mind began to wander up greed and hunger, and just how many of the countries are getting ready for another war. But the sun was shining, and everything seems fine, so count me in, I'll see you on the other side. Chemical bomb, chemical bomb, eyes melt, skin explodes, everybody dead. It won't be long, it won't be long, people gonna run around losing their heads. A river of blood, who's gonna live? The earth is tired of humankind, and I think this world is gonna wash out. Bomb. Eyes melt, skin explodes, everybody's dead. It won't be long, it won't be long. People gonna run around losing their heads. A river of blood, who's gonna live? The earth is tired of humankind, and I think this world is gonna wash up in.